The Advent wreath is a well-known tradition of the Lutheran Church. It has five candles which are lit during the Advent season. One candle is lit on the first Sunday in Advent, two on the second, and so forth. The light in the candle symbolizes the age of the coming of Christ, when the light of prophecy concerning the Messiah became brighter and brighter until He Himself came and said, "I am the light of the world." Tonight, as we relight the four candles of Advent, we pause again to consider the blessings we have anticipated in the past. First candle stands for the prophecy of Jesus' coming. It is lit in anticipation. The second candle stands for Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, and is lit in the longing for Christmas. The third candle is the shepherd's candle. It is lit in representation of judgment. And finally, the fourth candle is the angel's candle. It is lit in fulfillment of scriptures. Join me with the words, "Tonight we lift up the light of God, which is the reality of all blessings. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the greatest gift. He makes all other blessings possible."
Our second reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. standards come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has put forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, and forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he may be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
The fifth candle, which is the largest candle of all, is the Christ candle, which is lit this night in celebration of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, as we light now the candle, the Christ candle. I pray that Christ may find you in some wonderful way and grant you those blessings which you need the most. Amen. Our nation, arise,
shine, for thy light is gone, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Responsive reading from Psalm 67. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us.
That our Savior is come upon earth, our Savior is upon all nations.
Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee.
Oh, let the nations be glad and sing to your glory, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth.
Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Thank you.
Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask the son of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in depth or in a place above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of Israel. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Because he was of the house and of the lineage of David. To be cast with Mary, his espoused wife, being bred with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, said she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. An angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day born in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go into Bethlehem, and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the same which was told them concerning the child. And when all heard it, they wondered at those things which had been told by them the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen and had been told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the very gospel of the Lord. And may you be seated as we continue with our program. By Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and his love be in great abundance to you. The text I share tonight as we look at an old-fashioned Christmas comes from Titus 2, 11-14. The grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here we are, Christmas. Christmas is a time in which people celebrate, and the world celebrates greatly. Sometimes, though, in looking at Christmas, we think, if not old-fashioned, at least of the past only. How many of us enjoy watching a good Christmas movie, A Wonderful Life, or another title? We listen to songs and we feel in the mood. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Perhaps we enjoy the decorations around. A few days ago, I saw a friend from the city, and he was telling me that of his family, his sister took the old Christmas tree because she liked the 50s decoration. Some of you remember the aluminum Christmas tree? It had been used only twice, and so it was just like brand new, and she was proud to display it. Or maybe sometimes we can all remember some gift that we enjoyed as a child. For me, I remember as a child that one Christmas it was Mousetrap. Trying to put that puzzle together with plumbing and all sorts of things and watching as you captured the little mice. We look at different things of Christmas, but Titus says people should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Because when we look at the world, we look at Christmas, it's to be merry, it's to be bright, it's to be wonderful, it's supposed to be joyous, it's supposed to be peaceful. Do we capture that? Sometimes we capture it by looking at an old-fashioned Christmas, and maybe it might be as of tonight. Tonight, as we celebrate 26 years in a row of a candlelight service, and oh yes, things have changed a bit, haven't they? We used to have those Sunday school programs, and some of you are here and as children went through that. Sometimes we can remember the old-fashioned Christmas, where some of us remember singing, as they did tonight, some wonderful tunes like O Tannenbaum, O Christmas Tree. We memorized the Bible verses. We saw the plays and the dramas, don't we? And sometimes after the program, we get, or some of you might remember, we get one of these bags. Any of you remember that? In those bags, after the program, as children, we get what was inside of it. And usually what was inside of it was one old apple and a bunch of peanuts. When I was a child, it was wonderful to have it because there was a lot of chocolates in there and some other surprises. But it seemed either the congregation got a little tighter or they just got tired of buying the chocolates and gave us lots of peanuts and one old apple. In that time of an old-fashioned Christmas, there are things that were done. I'm wearing tonight a cassock. I don't have a Geneva gown, but many of you might remember the pastor only wore black. Most of the time you see me wearing a white robe or a white gown during Easter. But looking at the old-fashioned time, we think back and we think maybe how wonderful it is of Christmas and celebrating together. But Christmas isn't always so joyful or peaceful, is it? A couple days ago, as I was traveling, you know how the traffic is. And in one of those intersections, I barely could squeeze and scooted through as everybody wanted to go in one direction. People aren't happy at that, as well as crowds and long lines in stores. And how much merriment is there in Christmas? How many times have you heard people say Merry Christmas and mean it? Or have we heard more times since Black Friday? The last couple of years, Black Friday, that day after Thanksgiving, we've heard of some ugly and very sad things in which people have hurt from the stores. People have even died because there's such a mad rush in the early hours, or like this year, what is it, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and Thanksgiving Day, trying to find a merriment in prosperity of the world rather than looking what Christmas really is. And yet when we look at things and look at perhaps this year, Maybe we're a little bit more depressed as we see governments from state to Washington fight and bicker and give us really little hope, little merriment, and for some, little opportunity of employment, prosperity, or even having a home. What is Christmas? What is really joy and peace? We come here tonight at Christmas Eve, and we keep some of the traditions. We change a few every year. But Titus reminds us what Christmas really is. It's not just a tree. It's not just gifts. But it's more. Titus says we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, maybe sometimes as we get older, and even those of you who are of young and youth, you look back and think of the memories that you had as a child. Whether you are 8 or 80 or 18 or 20, and you think those were good times, and maybe they were. But Christmas isn't about a certain time or a gift or decorations or anything, but it's about, as Titus says, a blessed hope. And why is there hope? There's hope because Christmas is about a message of a Savior that brings us back to relationship to God, because we have lost that relationship in the garden of our first parents. We have lost it because sometimes in this world, as like with Christmas, we get so tied up with the things of the world, we forget the real wonderful gift of Christ Jesus, the child, the one born in the manger. And it's not just celebrating a birthday, but it's looking at the Savior to bring us close to Him, now as well as in heaven. It's a wonderful time if we think about really the message. And when you look at the old-fashioned service, if you look at the old-fashioned message, or you look today, a Merry Christmas, it's based upon the message of Christ. That's what's wonderful. You know, I share with you, as some of you are visiting, we have a unique service here because most places around the world are celebrating Christmas with a community coming here together. But I dare say, including myself and several others, there's very few that can say that they were born on the island or even in the county, because we are from all over. And yet how wonderful it is that we are gathered to share in the message of Christ. It's wonderful to have, as we look at the services, that they change because we might have little ones or we might not. Or it might be more music, or it might get back into a Lutheran setting of a heritage way back, and maybe even of German or Scandinavian or other language. It's most important because of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And what's wonderful about tonight is that we have several young persons who want to be part of the program, want to keep alive the message and that sharing of a hope, as all of us should be, as we should be thinking about that of Christmas today. We're told the grace of God brings salvation, for He appeared to all men. Jesus appeared not as a child only, but He grew and shared of His life, and especially the life in which God wants to love people if you accept Him in your heart, to know that He died for the sins of the world to become the Savior. But most importantly, unlike many other religions, He arose on Easter. That's the other great celebration that we share. Not only His birth, but also His resurrection. Tonight we'll continue with looking at some things in which make Christmas truly a wonderful life. Despite the time, sometimes a depression, sometimes prosperous, sometimes joyous or sometimes sad, we can always look to the great message that Christ Jesus is our Lord and Savior, born on Christmas Day but also living and among us. Emmanuel, God with us, one of our beautiful Advent Christmas hymns. He is our Savior. We sing joy to the world. We look at the silent night in which we are reminded that God is among us and living through us. May we look with this time, tonight, tomorrow, every day, with the joyous message of a Savior. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas, not just with a message of the old, but a message today and every day. Suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now take this time in sharing our gifts as we share the message of Christ in our ministry here and other places.
Hymnal, and yet very reverent, the general prayer. Let us pray.
Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks for all goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of thy dear Son and for revelation of thy will and grace. We beseech thee so, and plant thy word in us, that in good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth fruit by patient continuance in well-doing. Most heartily we beseech thee to rule and govern thy church universal with all its pastors and ministers, that it may be preserved in the pure doctrine of thy saving words, whereby faith toward thee may be strengthened and charity increased in us toward all mankind. Grant also us health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of this United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all judges and magistrates, and to do them with grace to rule after thy good pleasure, to the maintenance of thy righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. May it please thee also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and be kind and walk with us in meekness and in peace. All our trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are suffering for thy name and for thy truth's sake, comfort, O God, and with thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as a manifestation of thy fatherly will. And although we have deserved thy righteousness, wrath, and manifold punishment, yet we entreat thee, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions, but out of thy unspeakable goodness and grace and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of thy mercy, and from an evil death. And that every time of trouble show thyself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Cause also the useful fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, and to all lawful occupations on land and sea, to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with thy blessing. These and whatsoever other things thou wouldst have us ask of thee, O God, vouchsafe unto us for the sake of the bitter sufferings and death of Jesus Christ, thy only Son and our Lord and Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We pray the word that our Savior taught Paul to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May be seated as we continue our service.
Thank you.
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this is manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he is God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him.
Please arise as we continue our program, an affirmation of faith in the book of Paul's words to the Church of Rome and to us today. As a result of Adam's sin, death became the common lot of men.
By the general need of God, by the free giving of the grace to Jesus Christ,
Adam's sin brought judgment and condemnation upon us all.
Through Jesus Christ, our sin is death, we free him from grace and justification
before God. Adam's sin condemned us all to a lifetime of slavery and to death.
Through Jesus Christ, we by our acceptance of his grace and righteousness, live our lives like a royalty.
As one act of sin exposes all of us to God's judgment and death.
So one act of perfect righteousness acquits us all in the sight of God.
One man's of disobedience led to hell.
But one man's obedience had the power to present us righteous before God.
Sin is wide and deep.
God's grace is wider and deeper still.
Sin used to be the master of men and in the end handed them over to death.
Now grace is the ruling factor. Righteousness is its purpose and brings us to eternal life with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
While we were yet sinners,
Christ died for us.
While we were yet enemies,
Christ reconciled us to God.
While we were yet sinners,
we are saints through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And then you see the execution.
Thank you.
we arise and have the benediction and the time of hymn, I'd like to thank all participants who have spent this week doing it. I'd like to thank my wife, Ellen Greeter, but also the one who put a lot of time with the clerical part of putting this together, and especially for my son who taught some German, as well as did a lot of work with the music. Now, rise and receive the blessing of the Lord, of this night, and a message of our Savior be in your hearts and through your lives as we wait for the time, but also live in the joyous season of which He has made us His children. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord uplift His countenance upon thee and give thee His peace.